America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. A Detroit jury has found three men guilty of various charges in the nation's first terrorism-related trial since the September 11th attacks. A fourth defendant was acquitted. All four were alleged to be Muslim extremists. They were charged with belonging to a so-called sleeper operational combat cell. Prosecutors said the men were conspiring to commit terrorist attacks in the U.S., Jordan, and Turkey. The charges included conspiracy to provide material support for terrorists. Only two of the four were found guilty of the most serious alleged offense, which was conspiracy to support terrorism. After a meeting with President Bush, Arab leaders have issued a statement vowing to crack down on terrorists and support the roadmap to peace. Lori Iliama reports.
President Bush says there is potential for a Palestinian state and for Mideast peace.
Achieving these goals will require courage and moral vision on every side from every leader. America is committed, and I am committed, to helping all the parties to reach the hard and heroic decisions that will lead to peace.
The Arab nations say they will send funding through the Palestinian Authority and will help fight terrorism. The official statement also did not explicitly name Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas. The U.S. wants the Arab leaders to help elevate Mr. Abbas at the expense of Palestinian President Yasser Arafat. Laura Iyama, Washington.
An ambulance belonging to the guerrilla group Hezbollah exploded today in Lebanon. The vehicle's driver was killed in the incident. A statement from the Shiite Muslim group alleges that the blast was an attack by the Jewish state. If the bomb was indeed an attack, it would be the first such action against Hezbollah in southern Lebanon since the group expelled Israeli forces from south Lebanon in 2000. Washington has labeled Hezbollah a terrorist organization.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
A new report predicts greenhouse gas emissions will increase to levels 17% higher than they are today by the year 2010. The report from the UN's Climate Change Convention says industrialized nations, including the U.S., Western Europe, and Japan, will see a rise in the gases blamed for global warming. The UN calls this a setback after Russia and Eastern Europe made significant cuts in emissions during the 90s. The UN wants to see stronger and more creative policies to fight the problem, including the development of climate-friendly technologies and incentives for businesses, governments, and individuals to cut carbon dioxide emissions. The U.S. is the world's biggest air polluter and has refused to ratify the 1997 UN Kyoto Protocol, which seeks to cut greenhouse gases by 2012.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
The police officer who tried to break up a bachelor party in Gainesville, Florida, was mistakenly thought to be a male stripper, and now the bride-to-be is under arrest. According to the Gainesville Sun, Officer Jamie Hope was called out to the Sunday night party because of a noise complaint, but when he ran a background check on the bachelorette, he found there was an outstanding warrant for a 2-year-old open container violation. Party guests kept saying the gag had gone on long enough and that it was time for the strip show to begin. According to the paper, Officer Hope said the bachelorette thought the whole thing was a joke until she was put in the back seat of his patrol car and brought downtown. She was released on $11 bond. Stocks finished slightly higher in a day of subdued trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 25 points to 89.22. The NASDAQ was up 12 points to 16.03, and the S&P 500 moved up 4 points to 9.71. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, True Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. The phone number is 800-TALK-YES. 800-825-5937. If you'd like to email during the program, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. And welcome to listeners on the IE America Radio Network or Sirius Satellite Channel 145, Sirius Left, RadioPower.org, WhiteRoseSociety.org, A Partridge in a Pear Tree. Anyway, you can hear this program. We are glad you have found it. We also suggest that you go to MikeMalloy.com and get involved in the website there, the different fora. Is that the plural of forum, Kathy? Fora? I think it is. Get involved in the different forums. checking through there a few minutes ago, I noticed a lot of folks, old familiar names, starting to show up on the various in the various conversations. It's good to see a lot of people from the Chicago days, from the Atlanta days, who have found that website. Check it out. And, of course, our thanks to Mark Marshall at Maximum Interactive for putting that site together for us. We have quite a bit of ground to cover tonight, but I need to start with this. Paul Krugman's column in today's New York Times. And I don't think I've done this for a while, just read every single word that someone has written. But I think this column is extremely important. It's not going to be anything new to those of us who have been gathering around this campfire for the past 18 months to 2 years, but it's good to see Krugman taking a stand that some of you and I have taken on this program for quite some time. It's good to see, which is not to say that Krugman hasn't been an ally for months, but he puts it right out there. I'm surprised this appeared in the New York Times, I have to tell you. So, if you did not read Krugman's column today, this will be an interesting couple of minutes. If you have read it, bear with me. Krugman writes, "The mystery of Iraq's missing weapons of mass destruction has become a lot less mysterious. Recent reports in major British newspapers and three major American news magazines, Time, Newsweek, U.S. News and World Report, based on leaks from angry intelligence officials, back up the sources who told my colleague Nicholas Kristof that the Bush administration, quote, grossly manipulated intelligence, close quote, about weapons of mass destruction. And anyone who talks about a so-called intelligence failure is missing the point. The problem lay not with intelligence professionals, but with the Bush and Blair administrations. They wanted a war. So they demanded reports supporting their case while dismissing contrary evidence. In Britain, the news media have not been shy about drawing the obvious implications, and the outrage has not been limited to war opponents. The Times of London was ardently pro-war. Nonetheless, it ran an analysis under the headline, quote, Lie Another Day, close quote. The paper drew parallels between the selling of the war and other misleading claims, such as, quote, the government is seen as having spun the threat from Saddam's weapons just as it spins everything else, end quote. Yet few have made the same argument in this country, even though spin is far too mild a word for what the Bush administration does all the time. Suggestions that the public was manipulated into supporting an Iraq war gain credibility from the fact that misrepresentation and deception are standard operating procedure for this administration, which, to an extent never before seen in U.S. history, systematically and brazenly distorts the facts. Am I exaggerating? Even as George Bush stunned reporters by declaring that we have found the weapons of mass destruction, the Republican National Committee declared that the latest tax cut benefits everyone who pays taxes. That is simply a lie. You've heard about those 8 million children denied any tax break by a last-minute switcheroo. In addition, 50 million American households, including a majority of those with members over 65, get nothing. Another 20 million receive less than $100 each, and a great majority of those left behind do pay taxes. And the bald-faced misrepresentation of an elitist tax cut offering little or nothing to most Americans is only the latest in a long string of blatant misstatements. Misleading the public has been a consistent strategy for the Bush team on issues ranging from tax policy and Social Security reform to energy and the environment. So why should we give the administration the benefit of the doubt on foreign policy? It's long past time for this administration to be held accountable. Over the last 2 years, we've become accustomed to the pattern. Each time this administration comes up with another whopper, partisan supporters, a group, by the way, that includes a large segment of the news media, partisan supporters obediently insist that black is white and up is down. Meanwhile, the so-called liberal media report only that some people say that black is black and up is up. And some Democratic politicians offer the administration invaluable cover by making excuses and playing down the extent of the lies. If this same lack of accountability extends to matters of war and peace, we are in very deep trouble. The British seem to understand this. Max Hastings, the veteran war correspondent who supported Britain's participation in the war, writes, quote, the Prime Minister committed British troops and sacrificed British lives on the basis of a deceit, and it stinks, end quote. And it's no answer to say that Saddam was a murderous tyrant. I could point out that many of the neoconservatives who fomented this war were nonchalant or worse about mass murders by Central American death squads in the 1980s. But the important point is that this isn't about Saddam, it's about us. The public was told that Saddam posed an imminent threat. If that claim was fraudulent, The selling of the war is arguably the worst scandal in American political history, worse than Watergate, worse than Iran-Contra. Indeed, the idea that we were deceived into war makes many commentators so uncomfortable that they refuse to admit the possibility. But here's the thought that should make those commentators really uncomfortable. Suppose that this administration did con us into war, and suppose that it is not held accountable for its deceptions, so Mr. Bush can fight what Mr. Hastings calls a khaki election next year. In that case, our political system has become utterly and perhaps irrevocably corrupted. Paul Krugman, writing in today's New York Times. Now, if you read that earlier today, you know that is what you and I have been talking about on this program for months. No, we're not the New York Times here. We can shoot from the hip. We can make the claims based on logic and common sense and the Bush crime family's historical record long before a respected columnist, and I do respect him, Paul Krugman, can make a like claim in the New York Times. But there it is. Where's the outrage in this country? In an email from Carla Binion, she says, the Brits, including powerful British political figures, are all over Tony Blair for relying on cooked intelligence to promote a war. But there's nothing comparable going on here. She writes, I think it has to do with the fact that our own TV media promoted Bush and the war so strongly, and they continue to fawn over Bush and never criticize him. The BBC and British newspapers take a more critical, skeptical view. I think, Carla writes, Thomas Jefferson and some of the other founders of the country would say a press that fails to investigate and scrutinize political leaders is no press at all. And a press that serves as a mouthpiece for corrupt political leaders seriously undermines the Constitution and everything the founders of America intended this country to be. Jesus, I couldn't agree more. So there it is. There is Krugman stopping just a millimeter shy of saying, George Bush, you are a liar. We say that on this program. You say that on this program. Why can't Krugman or And again, I worship at the man's feet. He is one of the premier journalists that I have ever come across. I deeply respect his courage. But why can't Mr. Krugman come right out and say it? George Bush, you're a liar. Your entire regime is nothing but liar. Or did perhaps that's what he just said. In the meantime, Tony Blair now is saying he has secret proof. Last Saturday night, it was reported in the Observer on Sunday, just past. Tony Blair is insisting he has secret proof that these weapons will be found. He is stung, apparently, by claims that his government exaggerated the threat from Saddam. So Blair is saying He's just waiting to the right time to publish what he calls a complete picture of both intelligence gained before the war and what we've actually found. Well, Mr. Blair, all due respect, you know, I have no room to criticize you. You're a Brit. I'm an American. But with all due respect, since you have entered into this dance of death with this thug that runs this country, I would suggest, sir, with all due respect, that you produce your damn evidence. We'd love to see it on this side of the pond, too. To change the subject, it's a dandy. If you want to wag the dog, it's like falling off a log. It's so easy with propaganda. The folks at beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies what they've seen with their own eyes. It's amazing.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into Tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Colin Powell, was in Rome at the Vatican today, lobbying the Pope, trying to press the Bush crime family's case that the war in Iraq was justified and that we had, in fact, liberated the Iraqi people from a brutal dictator. Now, as you know, Pope John Paul II became a moral force against the war. and support for the United Nations efforts to disarm Saddam's government. As a matter of fact, the Pope's position became kind of a rallying point for a number of anti-war campaigners and protesters, Catholic and non-Catholic alike. Colin Powell in Rome, according to the New York Times, said, quote, "I hope the Holy Father will see that the people of Baghdad are liberated." That wasn't bad enough. He went on to say, "A dictator who has suppressed the people and has kept their hearts locked up so they could not achieve their dreams is gone," Paul said. He went on to say, "These people are now free to achieve their ambitions." What? What the hell kind of a fantasy world is Colin Powell talking about? The news came out, was it yesterday, that the military regime of the United States government that now runs Iraq is going to decide for the Iraqi people who will represent them on an interim government. The military regime centered in the United States that now runs Iraq is deciding the future of Iraq's oil revenues. And just before the program began tonight, I got this story that says that the military regime that runs Iraq, based in Washington, D.C., is going to lay off 500,000 civil servants in Iraq. Have a familiar stench to it? The Chicago Tribune reports U.S. officials will soon hand out pink slips to nearly 500,000 Iraqi military and civilian personnel, exacerbating an unemployment crisis that experts say could slow the pace of post-war reconstruction. Oh, really? The layoffs will mean the loss of a paycheck for roughly 1 in 10 Iraqi workers. With a stroke of a pen, the Bush crime family jacks up the unemployment rate in Iraq by 10 points. How do you like that? And Colin Powell has the absolute gall, temerity, hypocrisy, irony to sit with the Pope and say, these people are now free to achieve their ambitions, Your Holiness. A dictator has been removed, a dictator who kept their hearts locked up so they could not achieve their dreams. Who is Colin Powell talking about? Who is he talking to? What is he talking about? See, even Colin Powell, every one of these thugs in the Bush crime family, it matters not what the issue is. It matters not what the severity of the problem is. It matters not what the truth is. A lie will not only suffice, it is the first choice. They are pathological liars. They lie because they can. I defy anyone, I don't give a damn where you're hearing this program. In the United States, I don't care. I defy you to call this program now and tell this audience, one single thing that any member of the Bush crime family has said that is in fact truth. The lines are open.
From civilians to enemies, bombs can't discern. They just destroy all in their path.
The world has waited a long time for Mr. Saddam Hussein to disarm. They'll say, I'm disarming. After he said he has no arms.
On this endless killing spree, how many kids can you kill? Send the lower class the bill so you can drive your kids to...
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Blend number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
It's another Black Tuesday in France as much of the country's commerce and education grinds to a halt for the second time in less than a month. Widespread strikes began today. Air traffic controllers, dock workers, train and bus drivers, teachers, journalists, utility workers, and some government employees have taken to the streets again as France's National Assembly begins debate on reforms to the country's public pension system, which would extend the retirement age. The government made a last-ditch effort Monday to stave off the strikes by agreeing to delay implementation of the reforms until the fall, but the protesting unions say the proposal must either be scrapped or the labor unrest will continue.
A pair of proposed changes to the Fair Labor Standards Act have labor organizations wondering if the 40-hour work week is about to become a thing of the past. Under pressure from the Bush administration, the Labor Department may soon reclassify millions of American workers as exempt from overtime pay. Meanwhile, a bill before the House of Representatives this week would allow employers to substitute time and a half pay with paid vacations, compensation which would come as many as 13 months after an employee works an overtime shift.
One of the purposes that premium pay for overtime serves is to encourage employers not to make people work overtime.
David Cohen is an assistant to the president of the Department of Professional Employees. He says changes to the country's 60-year-old overtime rules could spell the end of the five-day work week.
Politicians who talk about family values need to leave people a little time with their families to transmit those values.
The House votes on changes to overtime laws this Thursday. Meanwhile, the Labor Department will close a public comment period at the end of June and could roll back overtime eligibility by the end of the summer.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. Half a million people are going to be laid off in Iraq now because one of the either Christian or Jewish Zionists that are embedded in the Bush crime family have decided that such a thing would be a good thing, to lay off half a million people. According to the L.A. Times, and I got this out of the Chicago Tribune, if that's too confusing, I know. It originally appeared in the Times. Officials of the U.S.-led reconstruction effort acknowledged that the dismissal of so many people will magnify the economic misfortune of a country where a majority of the population depends on food rations, where an estimated 30% of the labor force works for the government, and unemployment, as best as anyone can tell, already exceeds 20%. Well, first of all, no offense to the L.A. Times writer, but what's this sentence? The dismissal of so many people will magnify the economic misfortune? Misfortune, my ass! It was a designed, targeted program that went on for 13 years to destroy Iraq. It's not misfortune.
What the hell is the writer for the LA Times talking about? Poor choice of words? Okay, let's cut him some slack. If the unemployment figure in Iraq is 20%, ours is around 10, this means it will now go up to 30%. The article goes on to say the layoffs will be the latest blow to the once thriving trading nation, already reduced to third world subsistence levels by nearly three decades of authoritarian rule, international sanctions, and intermittent war. As far as the authoritarian rule, who put this terrorist bastard in power? Huh? We did. Who financed him? Who armed him? We did. Who isolated his country? Who invaded his country? We did. Who starved the people? We did. Who invaded the country a second time? We did. Misfortune? Several economists, investors, and business owners familiar with conditions in Iraq said the effect of the mass firings could be severe.
Oh, it might be severe.
A senior professor of finance and economics at Baghdad University, well, he is immediately suspect, isn't he, says it will be catastrophic for this economy. There will be a depression. And Colin Powell genuflects before the Pope and says, well, Your Holiness, you know, we liberated the Iraqi people so that they can enjoy the fruits of their labors and their hearts are free and their dreams and their lives will now be fulfilled. This is disgusting. We impeached a president because he lied about sex. How much longer are we going to tolerate George W. Bush? I keep talking about peaceful and legal opposition. Is it time to maybe drop the peaceful aspect of that and stay with the legal? You know, I've said it before, when Milosevic was defeated in Serbia and refused to leave the parliament building, saying he had actually won, the people of Yugoslavia surrounded the parliament building. Hundreds of thousands of them, including members of the armed forces. And Milosevic, rightly or wrongly, now sits in a cell in the Hague. Is that where he is, Gabby? Is that where the trial is continuing? And this little rat bastard that sits in the Oval Office in this country illegally, whose regime continues to lie about everything, is still the president of the United States. But there's not a whole lot we can do about it because you and I are in the vast majority. Latest poll, USA Today. Oh, Christ. 70% of Americans say things in Iraq are going very or moderately well. Of course, that's down from 85% in late April, shortly after the major fighting ended. 70% of Americans. Are we this stupid? Yes, Michael, we are. Unbelievable. Despite reports of continued the killing of American soldiers, continued killing of Iraqi civilians now, civil disorder, escalating attacks on American troops, failure to find weapons of mass destruction, which was the casus belli of this whole rotten, ridiculous attack.
A majority of Americans say, well, things are going very well or moderately well, I think.
The findings suggest two things, that the American public is crazy, just crazy, and less concerned about the messiness of the Iraq situation than many critics of the Bush administration, including Democratic presidential candidates, who charged that Bush misled the nation about the severity of the Iraqi threat and failed to adequately plan for the war's aftermath. Yeah, you know, those Democratic presidential candidates. A University of New Hampshire pollster who was involved in this says, quote, despite the media coverage of the chaos in Iraq, the public is saying, that's us, the American public, well, not you, not me, oh, for Christ's sake, not us. But that 70% is saying, the war's over, we won.
We knew that it was going to be messy after the fighting ended. We don't necessarily want to know about it.
Unbelievable. 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 Now, a few more stats from this poll, and then I'm going to come to your phone calls. 56% of Americans say the Bush administration has a clear plan for improving conditions in Iraq. 56%. The clear plan, the latest plank in the clear platform or plan, is to fire 500,000 civil servants in Iraq. Well, the Bush administration doesn't like public workforce anyway. See, they get rid of the civil servants, and then they bring in Halliburton and Bechtel and Kellogg Brown and Root and all these American corporations owned by members of the Bush crime family, and then they can hire people, put them on the private payroll, and, you know, pay them a dollar an hour. 56% of Americans polled say the war in Iraq would be justified even if weapons of mass destruction were not found. We are a sick country. Do you know that? We are a sick, jacked up, fried, freaked out, useless clutch of 280 million people. Aren't we? Huh? 67%, according to this poll, say that Bush did not deliberately mislead the American public about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. 67% say he did not. And then the article in USA Today has to add this.
Those who side with the critics tend to be mostly Democrats and people who opposed the war before it began. You know, those unpatriotic bastards. That's you know, they make up the bulk of this poll. 70% of Americans say things are going well in Iraq. 67% say Bush did not mislead, that means lie, to the American public. What's it going to take? Huh? What's it going to take? What is it going to take? Maybe another 4 years of Bush. Maybe drive this country just right into the ground. I mean, completely break it. Break all of our systems, our social safety net, our judicial system, our form of representative government. Break it all. Trash it. Destroy it.
And start over.
Now, Mike, now, there you go. There you go, Mike. Why can't you be happy? Why can't you be happy, Mike? George Bush is a great leader. He really is. He has our interests at heart. Oh, Mike, you're so negative. You're just so negative. Sit back, Mike. Relax. Take a deep breath. Drink your coffee. Do your little stupid radio program. And don't worry about it. Everything's fine. Bush is a wonderful man. Didn't you see him on the aircraft carrier? Huh? Huh?
I got some stuff about Kucinich here in a minute. Tracy's calling from Silver Springs, Maryland. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm about I know.
Listen, you know what? I felt even as early as a couple of weeks ago, Mr. Malloy, I felt the same way that you did, and I thought that we may have to, like, endure this until 2008, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this whole thing about the lies about weapons of mass destruction is going to have some traction, particularly if...
What about the lies about the tax cut?
Well, that too.
What about the Mount Everest of lies, Tracy? Why are we the stupidest people on earth?
Because the Indonesians are smarter than we are. Because people are here's what it is. Well, you know what? People aren't scared, but this administration scares people, and they think about September 11th, and they think they have to rally around, you know, the commander-in-chief, and whatever the commander-in-chief says, even though he's the unelected commander-in-chief, we've got to rally around him, whatever he says goes. But I think that if particularly, here's something to take heart in, is that
Give
our
me,
British comrades aren't as docile as we are.
Well, no,
okay?
That's true. And Tony Blair may see his government collapse.
Win, buddy.
But that's there. We're here.
Right. But I'm saying if and I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but if for some reason Tony Blair falls, the media here has to start.
Tracy, with all due respect, I just disagree. We do not have a responsible media in this country. We have several responsible journalists, but we do not have responsible media in this country. If Tony Blair, let's just say Tony Blair would get a vote of no confidence and have to call elections, the media in this country, not the respectable journalists, but the media in this country would immediately spin it in a manner of saying, see how irresponsible the British people are.
I just don't. I mean, because they've so pumped the British, they've so pumped Tony Blair, and you know, the United Kingdom is our best ally. They have so pumped that up. They can't abrogate that responsibility.
Okay. Well, I hope you're right. I hope that the that what we're seeing would indicate that the tide is starting to turn. And these.
I just really really think that if. But again, you know, if Tony Blair doesn't fall, then all bets are off. But, I kind of sense that people are sort of waking up and they, you know, they're seeing that lies were told to us and that this whole thing about Saddam being, I thought Paul Krugman's editorial today was just phenomenal.
It was absolutely stunning to see a mainstream journalist. Now granted, Krugman is one of the brighter journalists.
He takes them on.
That's right. He says what needs to be said. I'm surprised it appeared in the New York Times, which has been an advocate of this war, which is an advocate of the Bush administration.
And you know what? The other thing that I want to say is that Paul Krugman today said something that those of us on the left, because all of us hate tyrants, but he said that Saddam Hussein is a murderous tyrant is not an answer.
No, it isn't, because the very people who are embedded in this filthy regime in this country were the same people who supported tyrants all over Central America,
exactly.
All over the world, but especially in Central America. People like Elliot Abrams and Negroponte and Reich, they sat there, Poindexter sat there, while 200,000 people were butchered in Central America. So these sons of bitches, to make any claim whatsoever about the tyranny of Saddam Hussein is a joke.
Right.
Is an absolute joke.
Saddam is a bad guy, but, I mean, and not to diminish that, and we all know that the Iraqi people are better off without him, but to base it on that, I think the point is that we all know that the liberation of the Iraqi people was not really the reason that this war was launched.
Real quick,
everyone knows that.
Real quick question, and then I got to move on. Tracy, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
When are the American people going to be liberated?
Hopefully in 2000, next year, next November.
That's so. Thanks, Tracy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Appreciate your call. Maybe we need an expeditionary force of Russian Marines, or the Russian equivalent of 101st Airborne or the 82nd Airborne, to come into the United States and overthrow this punk that sits in the Oval Office. Do we need something like that, huh? Gizmo, one of our over-the-road trucker fleets, calling. He's driving in Willow, California tonight, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Gizmo.
Hey, listen, Mike, have faith. The American people are like pouring molasses on a December morning, you know?
Yeah.
They're really slow.
And really thick.
If you get on them, it'll stick.
Well, that's what I think what Tracy was trying to say. I hope you guys are right. I hope that
here's the reason for my optimism, okay?
All right.
We've got these three yahoos on the FCC board that all voted against, 90%? Of the people that wrote in asking them not to do what they did.
Right.
99.9%. So now Congress is going to pass legislation to stop their new rules from going into effect, or at least they're gonna try and make legislation to do that. That's gonna slap old Powell Jr. on the butt, isn't it?
Well, Powell said, well, that'll wind up in court because of separation of powers. And Powell said today that he thinks any court challenge to what he and the other two Republican thugs on the FCC did would withstand, or the decision would withstand any court challenge. So that remains to be seen. Let me put you on hold a second. We got to do a quick break here, Gizmo. I'll come back to you in a second. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
What's he want to do now? What's he going to try? Does he really think on getting his knife? Does he care if children die? La, 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 la. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Flying Monkey Ride Blues. Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
Arg. Five before the hour, we're talking with Gizmo. One of our over-the-road truckers has called in from Willow, California. Go ahead, Gizmo. Thanks for holding on.
Hi there, Mike. You're really low on my, and your commercials are really loud, but then when you came back to you, it went really down. I can hardly hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just our state-of-the-art technical equipment here, I guess.
Okay, well, let me just finish up. I know this is your short segment. I think that the FCC thing with the three Republicans voting against the majority of the people that didn't want the rules to change, I believe that this child tax credit debacle that Republicans just suffered through.
Right.
There's another crack in the foundation of the Bush administration. And the weapons of mass destruction lies have got legs. Like the New York story you read. I read that today, too. It's not over. They're going to be plagued by this, and I'd love to hear how you think Karl Rove is going to spin this thing.
Usually, at least I have noticed this in the past 2.5 years since these androids took over. When something like this comes up, they ignore it and they rely on media to put something else all over television to divert attention, or they will bring about another terrorist attack. I really do believe that if Rove feels really threatened, that the bottom is about to fall out of this little dictator's regime, that he, Rove, will somehow engineer another attack on this country. Now, by engineer, I don't necessarily mean he will order the terrorists to send radiological weapons into the heart of downtown Chicago, but Any intelligence that says such a thing might be in the offing, Karl Rove will insist, as he did on September 11th, 2001, that it be ignored. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So.
I just want you to know, though, Mike, now, a lot of this stuff that is coming to light today would not have come to light if it weren't for folks like you on the radio, on the right, being persistent about what you believe to be true and putting it out on the air on a daily basis. This is no mistake that the New York Post picked up this story.
New York Times. The Times, actually.
Right, the Times.
Right.
This is no mistake that they picked this up, and there's a growing outcry out there for liberal radio or progressive radio, and by God, you know, I foresee you in the... Probably within the next year, you're going to be on mainstream media all over this country.
Well,
I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
We can hope. Thanks, Gizmo. I appreciate you checking in.
You.
Drive safely.
I will.
All right. Take care, sir. Quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. Dennis Kucinich coming up next. Well, not him, but some information about him. Stay with us.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Arraignment is underway in Birmingham, Alabama, for accused serial bombing suspect Eric Robert Rudolph. Don Dornborg reports.
The Justice Department is moving swiftly to get the case against Eric Robert Rudolph in place. This afternoon, the 36-year-old defendant will enter a plea to charge the bomb to Birmingham abortion clinic in January 1998. An off-duty police officer was killed in that attack. A nurse was badly maimed and lost an eye. Earlier today, we're told that Rudolph complained that the television in the jail day room was not working. Like everyone else, Rudolph apparently very attentive to the proceedings. Reporting from Birmingham, Alabama, I'm Don Dornberg.
Media experts from around the world are pushing a plan to promote freedom of the press in post-war Iraq. Some 70 Iraqi Arabs, Americans, and Europeans drafted a law that would guarantee media independence and ban censorship, a practice virtually non-existent in the Middle East. During Saddam Hussein's reign, Iraqi media was controlled by the state-run Iraqi news agency. The draft was presented today during a meeting of journalists, scholars, and nonprofit agencies in Athens, Greece. The U.S. administration in Baghdad has already launched locally produced TV and radio broadcast, as well as two newspapers, after firing more than 5,000 state news employees.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
Food and beverage workers and other activists protested outside the Baltimore Convention Center this afternoon. Roxy Herbikian of Local 7 of the Hotel Employees and Restaurant Employees Union says the workers are upset with alleged violations of Baltimore's living wage law.
The company at the convention center, Aramark, has been violating this living wage ordinance, and that's why the demonstration is happening today. A number of employees have filed complaints with the city, which are currently being investigated.
Aramark employees at the convention center and Camden Yards are involved in long-running contract negotiations. St. Paul police are investigating an apparent skirmish between former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura and political candidate Leslie Davis. Police say Davis was protesting Ventura's use of the Twin Cities public television studios in downtown St. Paul last Wednesday for his upcoming MSNBC TV show. When Ventura walked out of the studios and saw Davis, he allegedly threatened him and destroyed a blown-up sign depicting the cover of Davis's book, Always Cheat, the Philosophy of Jesse Ventura. Public police reports don't include Ventura's name in the incident, but police confirmed to the Star Tribune that he's the man Davis is accusing of making threats.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
If she's indicted, Martha Stewart's life is going to change dramatically, according to one expert. Quinnipiac University law professor William Dunlap says Stewart stands to lose a lot.
She'll still be extraordinarily wealthy, but she won't have the kind of power in her corporation that she's always had. She could actually spend time in jail, which is just very humiliating as well as being very uncomfortable.
Dunlap says it appears Stewart's lawyers tried to make a deal to avoid indictment, but the Justice Department has decided to make an example out of her. Stewart's problems stem from her sale of ImClone System stock shortly before the FDA announced that it rejected the company's highly touted cancer drug. Stocks finished slightly higher in a day of subdued trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 25 points to 89.22. The NASDAQ was up 12 points to 16.03, and the S&P 500 moved up 4 points to 9.71. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the Old West. Bucking Broncos, Calvaries, and Water Pistols. Thank goodness in Hopalong Cassidy, it's still alive. Under your hood. When we come back, I'll identify one of technology's most wanted. I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark. If your Bronco or F-150 or LeSabre is bucking, it could be from a clogged injection system. A wonder of modern technology, fuel injection systems like tiny water pistols squirt precise amounts of gas into each cylinder. But like clogged arteries, when injectors become restricted with debris, gas flow slows. Result? Vehicles that stutter and waste fuel. For healthy injection systems, don't depend on the Calvary. Once a year, pour a double dose of injector cleaner into a full tank of gas. Run that tank out, then replace the fuel filter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. I've got two Kucinich items here I'll get to in just a second. But let's talk with Ben, our Elgin, Illinois Bureau Chief, and also the webmaster at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Mike. You know, Mark Crispin Miller has got this theory that when Bush says something, there's always a reason behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've often wondered if, when he does something that seems stupid, if there isn't a reason behind it. And if so, why are we trying to create a disaster in Iraq? Is there any percentage for the Bush crime family in having Iraq turn into a
chaotic mess? Into a chaotic mess?
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of advantages. First of all, it means a permanent U.S. military presence there, and a justifiable reason for that presence.
Right.
Without chaos, then there's no justifiable reason. With chaos, they can say, well, you know, we got to keep the troops here. Secondly, I think in the chaos of post-war Iraq, post-attack Iraq, it'll make it easier for the Bush crime family dues-paying members to get in there and steal whatever they can.
Right.
You know what happens in confusion and chaos. Usually the only winners in a situation like that are the bandits. And
right.
And there's never been a gang of bandits in the history of the world, unless you go back, back several thousand years, there's never been a gang of bandits like the Bush crime family.
Agreed.
So I also, it's a great diversion. It also helps keep the unemployment numbers lower in this country by sucking God knows how many young American men into the armed forces to serve the degenerate goals and objectives of the Bush crime family. So, yeah, they stand to win here on several fronts. Also, it keeps the war on terror as an ongoing situation. It's just a constant state of war.
Exactly. I've been watching this and thinking that nobody could be so consistently inept without trying to be.
Well, Mark Crispin Miller's book, The Bush Dyslexicon, I think really revealed the sickness, the worms and bacteria inside Bush's skull where his brain should be. But I also believe that Bush is, I don't want to argue or disagree with somebody who's much brighter than I am, like Mark Crispin Miller, but I would have to disagree in this regard. I don't think Bush is smart enough to be deliberately stupid, if you understand what I mean.
Yes.
I think he really is the dumbest, most ignorant person ever, and that's saying a lot. What have we had? 43 presidents of the United States, and
some of whom were not exactly the sharpest tack in the box.
Right, but George Bush, this is a man whose entire life is nothing but failure, nothing but thievery, lying, con games, bunko artist machinations. I mean, this guy's a street punk. He's worse than a street punk. I'd rather hang out with crack dealers than hang out with this guy, because at least I know a crack dealer is going to deliver what he says he's going to deliver, and the price is going to be there, and everything's cool, and you can trust him. George Bush, I wouldn't trust as far as I can outside, and it's dark now. So, there, I completely lost that analogy, didn't I?
Besides which, you'd want to smoke the crack himself.
Well, that's true.
Take care, Mike.
All right, Ben, I appreciate you checking in. I don't think he's smart enough to be this stupid. He's just the lying thing. That's what is becoming. It was bad enough when it became apparent that these people were malevolent, that there's a malice in the hearts and minds of the Bush crime family that exceeds malice in any administration. It exceeds the Nixon administration. That's bad enough. The ineptness, the destruction of the country, that's terrible. That's terrible. But the lying, the deliberate, structured, planned, thought-out lying without end. Whether they lie to the United Nations, the United States, our European former allies, it doesn't make any difference. It makes no difference. Every single thing. Again, the challenge is out there. I defy any of you right-wing lurkers, any of you Republican punks who listen to this program and don't have the courage God gave a pissant, I just defy you to call in and tell me one single thing that Bush has done that has not been an absolute lie. And you will not call. First of all, you're terrified of me, for God's sake. And secondly, you have no answer. It's the lying. It's the lying. That's the part. You know, we impeached a president for lying about an afternoon sexual romp with his girlfriend. We impeached him. But the lies of the Bush crime family are enormous, enormous. They are costing us this republic. They are costing us our government. They are costing us our society, and they may ultimately cost us our lives. And what are we doing about it? Well, you and I can't do anything short of take to the streets in open rebellion. But the Democratic Party leadership could be doing something, couldn't they? Huh? Couldn't they be doing something? Yeah. Sure they could. Kucinich, John Nichols, writing for Madison.com, the newspaper in Madison, Wisconsin, right?
Madison newspaper, Wisconsin Journal, Capital Times, yada, yada. Just very quickly here, then back to your phone calls. John Nichols points out that, George McGovern often said he won the Democratic nomination for president in 1972, in part because nobody took him seriously in 1971. McGovern, former senator from South Dakota, said, quote, "We drew scant national attention, but the reception was favorable at almost every stop," end quote. Now, there's Jimmy Carter, former governor here in Georgia. He says much the same thing about the campaign that won him the 1976 Democratic presidential nomination and ultimately the presidency. In 76, I worked on the 75, the Peanut Brigade here in Atlanta. My job was to telephone solicit people to get them out to vote, both in the Georgia primary and in the general election. And I can remember being told that Carter, and John Nichols refers to this in his article, he says, Carter still recalls the humbling experience of walking up to people on the streets in the small towns of Iowa and New Hampshire and saying, "Hello, I'm Jimmy Carter, and I'm running for president." So the notion that, as John Nichols writes, the notion of the candidacy that gets little national attention but quietly builds significant support at the grassroots, that idea came to mind this past Saturday night when Dennis Kucinich arrived in Madison, Wisconsin. Now, we all know that Kucinich gets no coverage, no respect, nothing from the national media. As Nichols points out, when the New York Times featured a drawing of the candidates for the Democratic nomination this past Sunday, the Ohio congressman Kucinich was missing. Didn't even bother to put his caricature up. But get this, with barely a week of preparation, Kucinich's Wisconsin backers pulled together a rally that drew more than 1,000 people to the Orpheum Theater Saturday night in Madison, Wisconsin. Okay, so it's Madison, Wisconsin. A lot liberal than, say, Des Moines, Iowa, right? But 1,000 people. Now, as Nichols writes, while many in the crowd were still deciding whom they will support next year, the enthusiasm for Kucinich's peace and prosperity message should serve as a wake-up call for the national political correspondents who continue to neglect Dennis Kucinich. The national media remains obsessed with the campaign of former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, who, despite the fact that he was a more tepid critic of the Iraq War than Kucinich, Dean is being pegged as the anti-war candidate. Dean gets noticed not so much for his stands on the issues as for his willingness to pick fights over the issues with the presumed frontrunners in the race, like Kerry, Lieberman, Edwards, Gephardt. As John Nichols writes, on the morning after Kucinich appeared at the Orpheum Theater in Madison, Wisconsin, the Sunday New York Times Magazine featured another big article on Dean. And if Kucinich backers are smart, they will be glad of that. Dean, a self-proclaimed fiscal conservative with a so-so record on issues of concern to working people, has been dubbed the acceptable liberal by the Inside the Beltway crowd. Now, I hate to say this to you Dean supporters, but are you aware of this? Kucinich, on the other hand, is the candidate who draws the crowds in places like California and Wisconsin, and according to recent reports in the Des Moines Register, the key first caucus state of Iowa. People want to hear what Kucinich has to say. People want to hear. Not the talking heads, not the punditocracy. Not the Inside the Beltway crowd, but people want to hear what Kucinich has to say. The Des Moines Register's veteran political writer David Yepsen reports, quote, "Kucinich has been spending considerable time in Iowa, and his good score indicates he could be on the verge of becoming a factor in the Iowa contest. Even more helpful to the Kucinich campaign may be a line from John Carlson, another Des Moines Register columnist, who says the candidate, Kucinich, is from the Michael Moore wing of the Democratic Party." The Michael Moore wing of the Democratic Party. Isn't it sad that we have to say that? The Michael Moore wing. Michael Moore, blue collar, working class, Midwest, Democrat. Democrat, damn it! Democrat! Not Republican light, Democrat. Not green, Democrat.
Michael Moore, Dennis Kucinich, Mike by God Malloy. What are you? What are you? Drawing 1,000 people on a Saturday night in Madison, Wisconsin, and being compared with Michael Moore in the Des Moines Register, John Nichols writes, could yet prove to be more meaningful than flattering mentions in the New York Times. Eh?
Smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Woody Allen said, "I believe there's something out there watching over us. Unfortunately, it's the government. More specifically, it's TIA, the Total Information Awareness Surveillance System, being run by John Poindexter. He's the infamous felon who was convicted of lying to Congress about his illegal role in the Iran-Contra scandal. Full of arrogance, he even declared that it was his, quote, duty to lie. Now, Poindexter is back as the Dr. Strangelove of the Pentagon. TIA is a new super snooper agency that's creating a massive computerized network that can electronically snoop through the millions of personal transactions that we make daily, compiling secret profiles about our actions and storing all of this in what they call, quote, a virtual centralized grand database. It's Big Brother incarnate. In addition to all of our financial, medical, and other private data, TIA also wants to collect a database of our personal identifying characteristics, not only including fingerprints, but also a new bit of personal data, the way we walk. Orwell would love this. It seems that we all have unique movements as we walk, what the surveillance industry calls gait signatures. So, with Pentagon funding, researchers at Georgia Tech are using radar, video, and computers to develop a system that will let Poindexter's TIA record and store in its grand database our individual gates. Yet another way for Big Brother to keep watch over us. Of course, Poindexter asserts that this is all about chasing terrorists and that we innocent citizens should have no concern that we might end up in his computer. But wait a minute. How do they define terrorist? And isn't this the guy who says it's his duty to lie to us? This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop this latest Strangelovian intrusion into our privacy, call the Electronic Privacy Information Center.
202-483-1140.
Four past the hour. And here's the last Kucinich thing for tonight. Kucinich is calling on the Defense Department to release the unedited footage of the rescue, quote, of PFC Jessica Lynch from that Iraqi hospital. And Dennis Kucinich is suggesting that the military or the Defense Department needs to answer some questions about her injuries. Kucinich said today, nothing the administration has said about Private Lynch has been verified by private news reports. It's time to find out the truth. Now, as you know, attention has been drawn to this since the BBC report and Associated Press interviews with Iraqis who were present suggested that all those dramatics and pyrotechnics surrounding Ms. Lynch's rescue were unnecessary and staged and just more jive turkey nonsense by this criminal administration and its criminal military. Reports of the rescue say U.S. commandos broke down doors, went in with guns drawn, carrying Lynch out with helicopter and armored vehicle backup, even though they knew there was no Iraqi military anywhere near the hospital, and the hospital staff had tried to turn her over earlier. They knew the hospital staff, not only would they not resist, but they were trying to get her home. When they tried to deliver Jessica Lynch to the U.S. troops, they were fired on. And they were in an ambulance when they were fired on. Now, Kucinich is the ranking Democrat on the House Government Reform Subcommittee on National Security. He's also on the Veterans Affairs and International Relations Committee. He has asked Defense Secretary Donald, I'm crazier than a rat, Rumsfeld, in a letter to release unedited footage of the rescue and answer the following questions. 1. Did U.S. troops encounter any Iraqi forces in the hospital? 2. Were U.S. troops fired upon during the rescue operation? 3. Did U.S. troops have information suggesting that Iraqi forces had abandoned the hospital? 4. Did PFC Lynch sustain any gunshot or knife wounds? 5. Did U.S. officials have information suggesting that hospital staff were trying to deliver Lynch to American forces? And last, did U.S. forces fire at the ambulance?
A Defense Department official speaking on condition of anonymity said today that it's really unlikely that the full tape of the rescue is going to be released to this this ugly little turd named Dennis Kucinich. What, are you crazy? You think we're going to who's Dennis Kucinich? He wants the tape? I got a tape for him. Did he serve in the military? He didn't? Oh, well, we can fix that.
And according to the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, it was unclear whether the additional questions about the rescue would be answered. Well, I can clear it up. What? Well, these six questions are going to be answered? Anybody from the Defense Department or Donald Rumsfeld's little rat's nest of warmongers, they're going to answer Dennis Kucinich? No, they're not. There, now it's all cleared up. Pentagon officials have played down suggestions. The Private Lynch's rescue was staged, or that details were exaggerated. Kucinich has been an outspoken opponent of the Iraq War. In a statement, he said he would introduce a resolution of inquiry in the House demanding the release of the intelligence data the United States relied upon before the war against Iraq. Kucinich said this administration led this nation into war based on lies. I think that this Congress and the American people have a right to know what information this administration had and how they justify their public comments. Now, Kucinich said, is the time for truth-telling.
together, or they hang us one by one.
The Iraqi regime is a threat to any American and to threats who are friends of America.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Aw, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Use as directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Microscopic plants in Arctic lakes show signs of a warmer climate. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The remains of tiny plants at the bottom of lakes in northern Canada show a steady transition to species that are suited to warmer and warmer water. John Small says the remains of these plants are a clear sign that the northern latitudes have grown warmer over the past 200 years. Small is a biologist at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. He studied sediment samples from 50 lakes in Canada's Northwest Territories to find remains of plants called diatoms. Diatoms are a form of algae, and they use minerals in the water to encase themselves in something like a glass shell. The diatoms that were buried about 30 centimeters into the sediment date back about 200 years. Small says they typically were the kinds that are suited for colder climates. Diatoms closer to the surface sediments were those that live in warmer water. Small says the shift in this community of tiny plants could indicate bigger changes for the lakes themselves.
If the diatoms are changing, it means probably the entire ecosystem is changing. Some of these lakes quite possibly are getting warmer. It's possible that fish, for example, or other species that used to live farther south will be able to move into these lakes, and they'll totally start changing these systems after many thousands of years of being one type of system.
Small says the remains of these tiny plants are signs of larger changes in the global climate.
I think this is, again, is just adding more evidence that the climate is changing, and it's related to, at least partially, to greenhouse gas emissions. We don't want to say all these changes are due to greenhouse warming, but I think the evidence is constantly piling in that we are seeing significant changes in climate.
Small says the Arctic is showing some of the earliest and strongest signs of global warming. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. John is calling from Chicago. Hey, John. Thanks for holding on. Welcome to the program.
Hey, no problem. I called you last week, too, actually. I'm the cartoonist who you spoke to.
Oh, yeah. Hey, good to hear from you again.
Yeah, I just finished a graphic novel last night that I've been working on for the last 6 years, and I have to say that listening to your show helped my page rate immensely, so there's a plug.
Okay. Well, just put me in the credits.
And thanks to the Mike Malloy Program for providing, you know, whatever.
Anyway, I was calling because I was intrigued by what you had to say about Karl Rove and his willingness to do, well, pretty much anything to keep their unrightful rule. Now, if you're willing to go that far, it seems to me that you might as well go ahead and say that he is now willing to use terrorists as a weapon against the American people.
I don't think there's any doubt of that. As a matter of fact, that has been one of the subtexts of this program since maybe 3 or 4 months after the September 11th attack on this country, when the information started to come out, the information being the questions about the ignoring of intelligence, when the FBI agent, the female FBI agent, got some press about her reports, her field reports, when everything started to finally come out in American and foreign media, it became clear to me, as clear as it needs to be, that it was not an intelligence failure that resulted in the deaths of 3,000 people on U.S. soil. It was a failure of the Bush crime family to respond to the information that they had. And I think that failure was a deliberate and calculated move. I charged them with mass murder and treason.
In a sense, that's not really a failure at all, because the results that they wanted were gotten.
Right. A failure in terms of the American public, why we have a government to protect and defend the people of this country. So as far as I'm concerned, George W. Bush and every single person in his cabinet, every single appointee, whether they are judges, whether they are low-level EPA administrators, I don't care what they are, every single member of the Bush crime family, thousands of them, are guilty of treason or should be charged with treason. As far as I'm concerned, they're guilty of it and have committed a criminal act against the United States. He's in violation of his oath. He should be forcefully removed from office if the impeachment process doesn't work, and I strongly believe that.
Well, he's definitely far worse than Nixon at this point. Let's put it this way: he's gotten to the point that Nixon almost got to and was stopped. What's happened now is we've gone through with it. Now we're on the other side now.
There you go.
And the thing is, though, the leaking of the information, it seems to me, for a group that is so concerned with secrecy in itself is interesting. Because, I mean, going back to something that the guy from the White Rose earlier said, there may be a reason for that as well. Because the thing is that what that does is it certainly creates a subtle amount of despair, and people say, well, they probably won't be able to stop the next one either. Oh, gosh, I guess I better listen to whatever they say.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the subtle thing that Republicans consistently like to put across whenever they're in power, which is, we don't care.
Right.
Shut up. We don't care.
Right, exactly.
In other words, everything they do, everything they have done, is in this grand pattern of showing their complete contempt for the welfare of the American people, for their livelihoods, which usually Republicans say, oh, we'll get you jobs, we'll get you a better economy. They've been steadily making it worse and perversely continuing to do the things that would continue to cause it. I mean, you go back and look at that Onion article, the one that came out.
Yeah, our long nightmare of peace and prosperity is over.
Everything they said in that article has happened, and worse.
Right,
everything
exactly
has happened. The results of the tax cuts that is mentioned right there in that damn article is there to see.
Oh yeah, the Onion might as well have had at hand some sort of magical crystal ball regarding that article that was written as parody.
It's very strange, isn't it? But it's like the thing is that if people don't care enough, then of course eventually they probably won't vote either, because they figure that won't make a difference. It takes them a while to get us back into this mindset.
Mm-hmm.
It took them a decade, really. And the thing is that one of the reasons why, really, I think one of the things they've used the Clinton thing for was that they got us used to the idea of a president lying about something and still being there. This was a president we liked, so we were willing to say.
Well, I think the motives regarding Clinton, I'm sorry to interrupt.
There are other motives,
John,
too.
I think they were much darker than that.
Oh, of course. But I'm just saying that that's the use they're putting it to.
To me, and I said this during the impeachment, during the attacks on Clinton, And Clinton was, you know, again, Clinton to me was a good Republican president. The attacks on Clinton were designed specifically to cause a certain percentage of the American people, 10%, 12%, 18%, whatever, a certain percentage of the American people to say, look, I've had enough of this. I'm getting out of the system. I'm just dropping out. I don't care who's elected. Media in this country, right-wing politicians, the Republican Party, utterly and absolutely, in the latter part of the 90s, did everything they could to destroy our faith in our system, that if we have somebody who doesn't deserve to be president, we can remove them. If we have a government that is working against our interests, then we can organize against that government and remove it. What they tried to do, and as far as I'm concerned, succeeded beyond their wildest expectations, was to turn off an enormous segment of the American public, who now says, that segment now says, ah, screw it. I don't care. I got a phone call. Somebody, a polling company. Yeah, I think Bush is doing a great job. Yeah, I think the situation in Iraq is just fine. That was the really grim and gruesome success that the right wings, the right wing, and the Republican Party and the religious nuts in this country did or had with their attack on Clinton.
Well, the thing is that the whole Clinton thing proved that they were completely out of touch with what the American people actually are like nowadays. And what they want to do is to force it back to a place that they can understand. And that's what they've been steadily doing for the last 3 years, is deconstructing everything that occurred in the last 10 years. Perversely, even if it means going against what you would normally think would be Republican interests.
Yeah, I don't think...
It's insane to me.
Yeah, the people who control the Republican Party now, as far as I'm concerned, are not really Republicans. Bill Clinton was a Republican. Eisenhower was a Republican. Who else?
Clinton was a Rockefeller Republican, basically.
Right. And if you like Republican politicians, Clinton was the best one. And I'm not trying to be cute here. I'm not trying to denigrate Clinton. It's just that Bill Clinton was not, by any stretch of the imagination, a Democrat as defined traditionally. I just get so sick of hearing myself say this. Bill Clinton was not a Democrat.
No, he was better than what we have, though.
Immensely better. He was a very intelligent man. He knew exactly what his plan was for this country. In so many ways, he succeeded where previous Republican and Democratic administrations failed miserably. He also did some things that were beyond the pale as far as I'm concerned, but he was an excellent Republican president. Now, as far as Bush and the so-called Republicans now, these are not Republicans. These are neo-fascists. These are Straussian, neo-fascist, neoconservative brown shirts who have an agenda that is as far removed from the traditional Republican Party agenda as it is removed from the traditional Democratic Party agenda. These are not Republicans. They are, what's the term somebody said, rhinos, Republican in name only. And if I were a Republican, card-carrying Republican, I don't know. I would commit suicide, I guess. Or I'd do something because my party's gone. It will never be the Republican Party again. Never, never, never. It is now the neo-conservative, Straussian, neo-fascist, whatever the hell it is. But it's not a Republican Party.
Well, I have an insane hopeful notion for you.
Yeah.
My insane hopeful notion is that this whole thing that just happened yesterday with Powell thinking he's handing the media over basically to the Republican Party might backfire. And the reason is because even Clear Channel is starting to realize they need to at least put on a show of having liberal opinion,
right?
At least appear to.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about it is that unless Rupert Murdoch takes over everything, are the interests of the people who are the head of the broadcast corporations, the interest of George Bush, always necessarily the same? I don't think they are. And I think what they just did was they just gave them more power potentially than Bush has. So, in other words, if Bush actually went against their interests as they perceive them, it would be much easier for them to destroy him.
Sure. That's why a lot of so-called Christian organizations and the NRA and traditionally right-wing organizations in this country align themselves with the traditional left-wing organizations or liberal organizations in this country and lobbied against this FCC ruling because, as you just said, the NRA, let's use them as an example, because they sent tens of thousands of emails and letters to the FCC saying no more consolidation. So let's use them. The NRA understands that if an administration gets into power, that like the Bush administration has the complete acquiescence of media, then the message can be war is bad, guns are bad, and there will only be one voice saying it. You see what I'm saying? Whereas right now, the message is war is good, guns are good. You see? So that's why a lot of traditional neo-fascist organizations or right-wing organizations like the NRA lobbied as strongly as they could against further consolidation, right along with the ACLU and National Organization for Women and groups like that.
I guess we should be glad that they still think that the media is liberal and therefore can be frightened by that.
That who thinks the media is
liberal? The neo-fascists.
I think this is what the neo-fascists understand. I think they understand it clearly, that media in this country is strictly corporatism. It is not liberal. It is not conservative.
It is amoral.
It has a political agenda that it will follow only insofar as it is rewarded for following that agenda. I cite as a very clear example to you when Rupert Murdoch, before he became an American citizen, when he offered a book deal to Newt Gingrich with a $2 million advance, Newt Gingrich writes like old people have sex. am I allowed to say it on radio? I don't want to offend old people. Hell, I'm becoming an old person. But Newt Gingrich is just a punk and a thug. But while he was a sitting member of Congress and on a committee that could determine whether or not Rupert Murdoch could purchase Fox Network, the entire Fox empire, Murdoch offered Newt a $2 million book advance. Now, the screams that went up, this is back in the mid-90s, the screams that went up eventually forced Newt to back away from the offer. But the point, I've completely lost my point now. Geez, maybe it's early Alzheimer's. The point, I guess, is simply I know what the point was. The right-wingers understand that this is about business. It's about money. They don't care what they say. I believe that Murdoch is a right-winger. I think he is a internationalist neo-Nazi. But for the most part, what these people are primarily concerned about is profit. All the profit, every single last dime has got to flow through their hands. There can be no media diversity, not because it's political diversity, but because it's financial diversity. They want all the money, every single last dollar. That's what this is about.
Well, you see, there's the hopeful bit, though. There's one little hopeful bit, which is that Gingrich also, back somewhere in the mid-90s, said basically to a bunch of broadcasters, I read this in, I think it was Salon the other day, that essentially, if you give us favorable coverage, we'll relax these regulations. Well, you
absolutely
can see the result of that offer for the last 6 or 7 years.
Sure.
Now, the thing is, the deal has now been done. They held up their end of the bargain. They don't have actually anything to get from them anymore, except perhaps something that will allow all four networks to merge, which they haven't gotten and probably won't get.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the question is, what happens now that they don't actually owe the Bushes anything?
Well,
it's an interesting thought.
It is. And I guess it requires one of those half-baked answers like the one I'm about to toss out.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens, John.
Hey, listen, thanks for checking in.
It's good talking to you, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Dee is calling from Omaha, Nebraska. Hey, Dee.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine, sir.
That's good. I just have three hopefully quick things. I have a joke and then a comment and a question.
You got a juggling act? Any poetry?
I'll work on that for next time.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Well, the joke, this goes back to what you were talking about earlier about how absolutely just astoundingly stupid Mr. Bush is.
Right.
And so I always had this in my mind, that this joke of if we ever thought what it would be like to have a president quail, now we know.
You're right. Dan Quayle. I always got the impression that Dan Quayle was perpetually on the verge of entering adolescence. You know what I'm saying? It was just amazing. Okay, that's the joke.
Okay, and then the comment is that the FCC, it really scares me, not only about what's happening with broadcasting and newspapers, but also what this might mean for the Internet, because there are some rule changes that happened actually a few months ago that were little noticed maybe even more so than the rule change of yesterday,
uh-huh.
which was that you probably know this, that cable internet companies now are allowed to block.
Right.
You know about that, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Finish.
Other cable providers, as well as even other sites that may be antithetical to their interests.
That's
which
right.
Which could be anything, you know, which could be even this show. You never know. You
right.
know?
So you see, obviously, the direction we're going. And this has been one of my concerns. Broadcast media in this country is what Newton Minow said all those years ago, way back in the 60s. Oh, my God, if he only would have known. It has become that vast wasteland that he said it was. Newton Minow was one of the FCC, if not the chair. I think he was a chairman of the FCC during
the 60s.
Yeah, the Johnson years.
Yes.
And he came out and said that the television had become a vast wasteland 40 years ago. Look at it now. Oh my God, he must be spinning in his wherever he's spinning. Hey, let me put you on hold a second, D. I'll come back to you and we'll finish up the conversation here. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Till it all disappears. How can you judge from me? What I should hear and see. You take away freedom of choice. You take away the right to voice my beliefs and all I hear. You take away my right to choose.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffens Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumble will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we are talking with Dee, who called in from Omaha. Now, where were we?
Oh, yes. Well, we were talking about the SEC and the rule changes as they may affect.
All right, you got the joke in the comment. Now, what was the third thing?
Yes, and then just a question. Now, I just want to ask if you have an Omaha bureau chief.
We don't.
Oh, could I be the Omaha bureau chief?
Absolutely, Dee.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Now, what you have to do when you call the program, tell Kathy, just say, hi, this is Dee, the Omaha bureau chief, so she can put it up on the board. Otherwise, I'll just say, Dee is calling from Omaha, and we want to give you the proper credentials now that you have them, okay?
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Okay, and don't forget to send in your dues. There, you know, we'll take it. We'll ding your credit card monthly for that if you don't, you know, if you can't afford the whole thing at once. Huh?
Yeah, how much?
Just kidding, Dee.
I know.
Well, thank you for being the Omaha bureau chief, because we do not have one, as far as I know. Do we, Kathy? We don't have an Omaha, Nebraska bureau chief. We do not. Okay, so you're it. Thanks for checking in, Dee.
Okay, bye.
All right, you have a nice evening. No, the bureau chief positions are, you don't have to pay for them. Although I've never been able to figure out why not. Dave is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Dave.
Oh, yeah, hi, Mike. Hey, have you ever interviewed Martin Lee? He wrote the book called The Beast Reawakens.
Yes, when I was on WLS in Chicago. All about Nazism and or fascism.
Right.
I had Martin Lee on one night for an hour, and when I left the studio at WLS in the Loop in downtown Chicago, I was terrified that somebody was in and was going to put a black hood over my head, put me in the back of a car, take me off in a field someplace, and beat the hell out of me.
Oh, I know. The book is pretty amazing. A huge
it is.
Bibliography in it. Well, I was prompted to call because. One of the callers over half an hour ago raised the idea, how could this guy, you know, Bush and his cronies, be making so many obvious mistakes and just boneheaded moves, and then just be not only supporting them whole hog, but to be moving forward on them, you know, with all the speed
sure.
and urgency of a freight train out of control. So if you look at the scenario that Martin Lee uses in that book, And I'll just run through it for the audience.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hold that thought, because we have a break. And I would like you to share that with the audience. We'll do it when we come back. Quick break here. We shall return. Do stay with us. One open line, 800-825-5937. I'd like to hear from you.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Ban ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart. You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network. The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. An arraignment is scheduled later today in Birmingham, Alabama for serial bombing suspect Eric Robert Rudolph. The military veteran was captured over the weekend in North Carolina. Many people are concerned that Rudolph received help from people in the community in which he was found. Mayor of Murphy, North Carolina, Bill Hughes, says his town doesn't support Rudolph, even though a local church was seen hanging a sign that says, God bless Eric Rudolph.
The foul acts that Rudolph has committed certainly are found deplorable by those of us living here, and it's just a terrible thing. It certainly doesn't reflect our attitude or philosophy in any way, may I assure you.
Rudolph is the suspect in the bombings of an abortion clinic in Birmingham that killed one woman, as well as in separate blasts in Atlanta. Rudolph has been running from federal authorities for 5 years. Pakistan claims fire from Indian troops in the disputed Kashmir region killed at least 9 people and wounded 6. A spokesman for the Pakistani military stated Indian forces opened fire on a jeep carrying civilians. Indian officials say the fire wasn't heavy enough to cause those kind of casualties and described the exchange of fire as routine. Kashmir has been the focus of 2 of 3 wars between India and Pakistan. The two nuclear neighbors almost went to war last year. India accuses Pakistan of aiding a revolt against India's rule in a sector of Kashmir. Tens of thousands of lives have been lost due to the revolt since 1989. Pakistan denies the allegations by India.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patent active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
It's being called the largest drug bust in Long Island history. Federal, state, and local authorities in Suffolk County charged 3 men today with running a massive wholesale drug and money laundering ring with illegal profits valued in the millions. Reporter Scott Salato has the details.
Long Island's largest drug bust netted $11 million and more than 2 tons of pot. U.S. Attorney Roslyn Moskoff says the tentacles of this dope smuggling ring reached far and wide.
This employed over 60 individuals over a period of time, working as drivers, packers, distributors, warehouse employees in the Long Island area.
The feds say most of the dope was trucked in from Canada and Mexico in minivans outfitted with secret compartments. Comac brothers Barry and Warren Hazan are accused of running the bad business for at least 20 years. Scott Zalato, New York.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Saddam Hussein's oldest son, Uday, was hiding out in Baghdad as recently as 11 days ago and even considered giving himself up to U.S. forces. That's according to Uday's former bodyguard, Latif Yahia. He says he got word of Uday's whereabouts during a phone call with a mutual friend last week. That friend claims Uday and two of his guards spent 2 nights at his home in the Iraqi capital. During the stay, Saddam's son considered surrendering but kept changing his mind. He also reportedly sat in a wheelchair crying because he knows that if he goes outside, quote, he'll be killed. So far, there is no confirmation to this report. Uday is partially paralyzed after a failed assassination attempt in 1996. He's accused of human rights abuses, including torture and rape, and is the third most wanted man in Iraq. It was a day of subdued trading on Wall Street, and stocks finished slightly higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 25 points to 8922. The NASDAQ gained 12 points to 1603. The S&P 500 moved up 4 points to 971. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Right now we're talking with Dave, who's called in from San Francisco. We're talking about Martin Lee's book, The Beast Reawakens. It's about fascism. Now, where were we?
Yeah, well, it is definitely
without getting too deeply into it.
Sure, sure. Well, this is the scenario that I think that really explains what Bush is up to. Martin Lee's book lays it out that after World War II, the Nazis knew that they had to hide, so they found their way, as specific of them, a way up in the SS, found their way into the American OSS, which was turned into the CIA, and these Nazis then hooked up also with the KGB from over there and made their way into the KGB during the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So from both sides of the ocean, these Nazis were feeding fake information to both sides,
right.
And their intention was to bankrupt both the Soviet Union and the United States, and then, of course, to that end, they would then create the Fourth Reich, that fascism would then reemerge as a major world power. Well, if you look at structurally what they're doing, Bush and his buddies are doing, this is it. You know, I mean, this is their plan. And so they are intentionally sabotaging the nation. They're intentionally ruining their reputation, intentionally polluting so that we're going to be so caught up in health care costs that, you know, we'll be dying, choking in our own stink, you know, of pollution over here while they run away with all the money. Well, there is a solution to it, and it's essentially what Ben Franklin did, and it was to refuse to use their money anymore. You just boycott their money. All of a sudden, these people are poor overnight. You know, we still have 24 hours in a day, just like they do, but they don't have an army anymore.
Right.
Because you can't pay an army with money that doesn't work. So, you know, there are options, and I guess to really simplify it, everybody, of course, knows about the good opportunities with the hemp economy.
Mm-hmm.
You could create thousands of products. But also, George Washington Carver had thousands of products just from the soybean and the peanut, you know. And these are biodegradable things. You don't have to use oil for plastics when you've got biodegradable plastics made from cellulose fiber. I'm just looking at a meeting we've got over here in San Francisco tomorrow on the hydrogen economy. You know, we could certainly be putting hydrogen in our cars. It would be spitting out drips of water.
And these are all great ideas. But as we've discussed before, Dave, I don't see how, I honestly don't. I'm not trying to be a cynic here, a pessimist. I don't see how the bulk of the 280 million people in this country could possibly respond to that.
When the money isn't good anymore, then they have to figure out which one they're going to fight.
Well, I think the Bush crime family is going to make sure on its own that the money is not good anymore.
Right.
I think international money speculators are obviously, they're pulling their money.
Well, they're working it, sure.
They're working that system.
Yeah. And see, that's why you can come up with... There are a lot of options. You know, for example, I've been pushing the impeach effort, and as a matter of fact, I've made thousands of those buttons, and I just whether I swap them, you leave them for tips, I give them, I sell them, do all sorts. I've created my own little economy with impeaching Bush. You know,
that's
and
great.
So it's like every time he does something stupid, I make more money. And so, you know, you can create a local economy, but what we really need is an economy that's going to. Thomas Jefferson had a, I think it was in his second inaugural, he's talking about setting up his economy, and he's talking about that it should be based on agriculture with commerce as its handmaiden.
Right, absolutely.
So in other words, you don't let some con artist, bureaucrat out of the tall buildings come and tell you what you have to do on your farm when it might not be up to, you know, the acts of nature that a thing like that can happen.
And that's a good stopping point for right now.
Sure. Yeah,
thanks,
Dave. We just got to go to the real world, and then it completely invalidates them.
I hear you.
All right, have a good one.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you checking in. John is calling from Long Beach, California. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Yeah, there's a couple things I'd like to pass by you. First of all, I agree with you 100%, as you know, on relations to the Bush crime family. But I also would have to say that if we were able to ever bring these people before the bar of justice, we also have to bring their co-conspirators, the Democrats that went to bed with them.
Well,
I will not vote for any Democrat that went along with Bush on anything.
That's I don't think you're alone in thinking that way. I think a lot of people who identify themselves as Democrats feel terribly betrayed and will probably agree with you on that.
The other thing is, and this is the other part, if we are ever to achieve our dreams about what we think this country should be like, there are at least four things that have to happen. One, get rid of personhood for corporations.
Oh, sure.
Rescind the FCC rules back to where they were when Reagan was in.
Right.
Address the voting machine problems and solve it.
Right.
Only allow a rider on bills before the House that relate to the subject in the bill.
Right.
Those
are great ideas. Now, realistically, how much of a chance do you think any one of those four, much less all four ideas, have a chance of becoming reality? An Ice Cube's chance in hell?
The pessimist in me says zero to none.
Right.
But, hey.
It's worth talking about.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks a lot, John.
Okay.
I appreciate you checking in. The Bush legacy, fear and loathing. Not trying to take anything away from Hunter Thompson. Fear and loathing, global fear and loathing. Fear here for sure. Fear in the Islamic world, loathing in the rest of the world. Another poll, the Pew Global Attitudes Project. This is the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press, a fairly respectable polling organization. Get this, with this attack against Iraq, fresh in the world's memory, majorities of citizens in 7 of 8 Islamic countries surveyed in a new poll said they fear a U.S. military attack. Now, a lot of people in this country say, good, by God, that's good. But the Pew Global Attitudes Project found that 74% of Indonesians, 74%, 72% of Nigerians, 72% of Pakistanis were, quote, very worried, or, quote, somewhat worried about a perceived military threat from the United States. In Turkey, a longtime U.S. military ally and NATO partner, 71% of the population fears a military attack from the United States. Kuwait, 53% fear an attack by the United States. Kuwait, isn't that the country whose honor we defended back in 1991? Huh? This poll was conducted April 28th to May 15th, involved 16,000 interviews in 20 countries and the Palestinian Authority territories. The poll found that the Iraq War has deepened hostility among Muslims toward the United States, damaged the image of the United Nations as a peacemaker, and convinced many Europeans that they need greater independence from the United States. This is what this rat bastard in the White House has done. Now, you may feel that's great. I hope they're afraid of us, Mike. I want them all to be afraid of us. Screw them. Well, I don't think it's a very healthy attitude, frankly. Negative views of the United States by Muslims, which had been largely confined to the Middle East because of our one-sided policies for the most part with Israel over the past 60 years, have been spreading to other parts of the world, according to this poll. Since last summer, approval of the United States in Indonesia fell from 61% to 15%. Among Muslims in Nigeria, it fell from 72% to 38%. Since last summer. The survey also found that 76% of the French, 57% of Germans, 62% of Spanish, and 45% of the Brits believe Europe should become more independent from the United States. Get the hell away from this sick regime in the United States, or this country, the United States. How about that? Fear and loathing, global. There was also a huge decline in approval of the United Nations. This is also part of the Bush legacy. It had been looked on as an important way to avoid wars. Well, I guess there would be disapproval since the UN was unable to stop the Bush crime family. Now, as far as Americans are concerned, over the past year, the share of Americans who consider the United Nations, quote, a good influence, end quote, that number fell from 72% to 43%. In France, it went from 75% to 47%. In Germany, from 79% to 46%. And in Great Britain, from 78% to 41%. Do you see what the Bush crime family is doing? It is destroying the whole planet. It is destroying relationships among allies. It is breaking down traditional take a deep breath, Mike. It is shattering the alliances between traditional allies. It is replacing hope with fear. It is replacing respect with loathing. How did this... Get this. Among Israelis, 47% believe the United States favors Israel too much. That's among Israelis. Oh, my God. According to this this poll, the top-rated world leader, Americans consider the top-rated world leader to be British Prime Minister Tony Blair, followed by George Bush and Ariel Sharon. Blair had 83% approval among Americans. Bush had 78%. The unindicted war criminal Ariel Sharon had 49%. I mean, what does this say about not just us, but the rest of the world? I don't know. I guess I'm just easily stunned. I guess that's the problem. I'm just easily stunned. Stay with us. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Listen, this nation is committed to dealing with poverty. First, let me make it very clear, poor people aren't necessarily killers.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into Tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet.
we cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network. For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Waves of fear. Waves of fear. Waves of fear.
Finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. You know, I'm so old. I've been in talk radio for so long. I can remember back in the early days of talk radio when we used to do issues. The issues back in the mid-'80s was the Reagan crime family, but we also did other things. It wasn't so all-pervasive, and because we had the Fairness Doctrine before the neocons destroyed it, we had to cover more than just one side of an issue. People were more inclined to call in. There was an attitude of grudging respect sometimes. I mean, you have morons on both sides of the fence, let's face it. Most of them happen to be on the Republican side of the fence. But I remember when talk radio, when we could do other things. And I was thinking about this for the past couple of weeks. I frankly am really getting sick of talk radio. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting sick of this job. I'm getting sick of the same subject over and over and over again. Now, Kathy has come up with all kinds of ideas about how to, lighten things up a little bit. We tried Bush Free Fridays, which went nowhere, mainly because I didn't like it. It's almost like being driven to talk about what these people are doing, the Bush crime family, to this country, to this society, to the community of nations, to the entire planet. And, it's just... It the fun in talk radio is gone. It really is. I don't know how many talk show hosts would admit that. I'm sure there are some talk show hosts out there, like this pig savage who Michael Weiner, who enjoys the vileness of talk radio. But I don't. It used to be a fun job. Bart Kopp is starting his internet radio show. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work. I don't think at the very beginning they're going to have call-ins. But, Kathy and I have tried to warn him. Bart, but he already knows. When you look at BartKopp.com, for example, I'm going to pick on him a little bit. His website, he's got all kinds of stuff on there. I mean, there's entertainment, there's sports, there's funny stuff. It's almost like you can't do that on talk radio anymore. If you are dedicated to the proposition that the Bush crime family is destroying everything, just destroying everything, and I'm not sure exactly how to deal with that reality. But I'll tell you, it's just because it never stops. No matter how we try to plan this program, When I get on the computer about noon every day and check out the topics sent to me by Gene in Canada, for example, our senior correspondent Chris in Minnesota, by Clint in Dearborn, and a few other sources, and more people are sending more and more stories that they think should be covered on this program, and we take a look at them, and I always agree that yeah, this has got to be covered, And we never have time to do it, obviously. But the stories that we do cover, the topics that we do cover, for the most part, we don't even do the top of the program kickers like we used to. Remember, Kathy, we'd start out with two or three things that were kind of like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Is that really true? Did that happen? We don't even do that anymore. I don't know. See, I should have stayed in college long enough to get a degree, so I had a different trade to fall back on. But I didn't. You know, I'm a dropout. And I don't know. Maybe it's time to write a book. Would that work?
Okay, that's enough whining, Mike. Come on now, stop your whining. Well, what the hell? I know some of you people feel the same way. You email me. I see some of it in the chat room at MikeMalloy.com. I see it on the topics, some of the topics on the message board at the same website. It's like, Jesus, we're all going to die of bush fatigue. Why can't we just die of normal death stuff? You know, why do we have to die of bush fatigue? Okay, I'll be fine.
Oh, Mikey, we're so worried about you.
Give me this 3-minute break. We'll be right back. We'll finish up the program tonight. We'll come back tomorrow kicking ass and taking names again. Just had to vent for a moment. Never mind. Oh, God. Kathy, you're not playing that.
Don't give up. Don't give up.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
It's another Black Tuesday in France as much of the country's commerce and education grinds to a halt for the second time in less than a month. Widespread strikes began today. Air traffic controllers, dock workers, train and bus drivers, teachers, journalists, utility workers, and some government employees have taken to the streets again as France's National Assembly begins debate on reforms to the country's public pension system, which would extend the retirement age. The government made a last-ditch effort Monday to stave off the strikes by agreeing to delay implementation of the reforms until the fall, but the protesting unions say the proposal must either be scrapped or the labor unrest will continue.
A pair of proposed changes to the Fair Labor Standards Act have labor organizations wondering if the 40-hour work week is about to become a thing of the past. Under pressure from the Bush administration, the Labor Department may soon reclassify millions of American workers as exempt from overtime pay. Meanwhile, a bill before the House of Representatives this week would allow employers to substitute time and a half pay with paid vacations, compensation which would come as many as 13 months after an employee works an overtime shift.
One of the purposes that premium pay for overtime serves is to encourage employers not to make people work overtime.
David Cohen is an assistant to the president of the Department of Professional Employees. He says changes to the country's 60-year-old overtime rules could spell the end of the 5-day work week.
Politicians who talk about family values need to leave people a little time with their families to transmit those values.
The House votes on changes to overtime laws this Thursday. Meanwhile, the Labor Department will close a public comment period at the end of June and could roll back overtime eligibility by the end of the summer.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the
Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
27 before the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Do join us. David is calling from Talladega, Alabama. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
On the top of the list of this Federal Emergency Management Agency is the seizure of all the communication media. That's the top of the list. And the next is all power. But it goes on down. I know you were talking about work a while ago. They got a lot. I guess everybody will be government workers because they got civilian work by federal supervision.
Mm-hmm.
On down, this is number, it's a seizure of all communication media. It's 10995. And it's got a list of all the things that they, you know, federal management plan on taking over. And if that's at the top of the list, you know, we're really in for it.
Do you know how to shoot a gun?
Oh, yes. A double bear.
What about a rifle?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. Do you know how to break your weapon down and put it back together?
No, I hadn't did that before.
Okay, well, it's not all that hard to do, David. It's not all that hard to do. I'm just checking. I'm talking about the weapons you use to hunt with, of course. That's all we're talking about here. Right, David?
Yeah, I know it. But are you a vegetarian? Peter and Jalene said they were vegetarian.
Am I a vegetarian?
Yes.
Only if cows are made out of vegetables. No, I'm not a vegetarian. I try to limit meat intake just for health reasons and not from a moral
standpoint.
They
had a guy on last week, and we're talking about that.
Well, that's why Peter Werbe is much calmer than I am. You know, I've said it a million times. You know, he reaches for his meditation pillow at the same time that I reach for my gun. But you know, Peter's much more laid back a person. We're about the same age, and he's you know, he'll probably live another 25 years. Whereas me, you know, I may croak tomorrow. And part of that is because Peter is a vegetarian, and he's much calmer about things. He's got more of a Buddhist attitude.
But can I say this? What the United States, that we're saying that they went to war. They really didn't go to war. When a person is robbed and robs people, when their funds get low, America's in a bad financial situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And when the finances get low, we go and rob other nations. That's what it's all about.
Well, that's a good reason to be a vegetarian, is when you don't have any money, you know, you can go out and eat grass and bark and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
And all that kind of stuff.
David, I'm glad to hear from you. Thanks for checking in, pal.
All right.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. The bottom of the hour there, did you hear the Workers' Independent News Service, that little report of we talked about it, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, and then it kind of submerged, and it's back again, an effort by the Bush crime family to do away with overtime. You know, the 40-hour work week is going to become the 50-hour work week. Not only do we have stagnant wages and massive unemployment and more people being laid off, but now these sons of bitches want to eliminate time and a half for people who work over a 40-hour work week, something that people died in the streets of America to guarantee to American workers. It just, see, it just doesn't stop, does it? Huh? It just doesn't stop. At BuzzFlash, there's an editorial. I'll publish the link. I'll post the link. This is about Bush pretending like he's going to try to find some way of reconciliation for the Israelis and the Palestinians after ignoring the unending bloodshed over there for 2 years. Now, part of the reason for that is Bush couldn't find Israel on a map. If somebody if somebody offered him oil wells off the coast of Oman, he couldn't find Israel on a map. If you asked him what the occupied territories are, he'd have no idea, none whatsoever.
Well, I think Arafat is a terrorist. He needs to stop terroring. He needs to stop terroring.
You know, he's so stupid. But Bush is now being sent out by Karl Rove to try to polish up this appearance that he's a statesman, Bush. Bush. With all the corruption and the lying that is starting to emerge about Iraq, Rove decided it's time for George to appear to care about the thousands of Israelis and Palestinians who have been killed and wounded and injured and made homeless during the course of his administration. Now, you remember, Clinton came very close to working out an agreement with the Palestinians and the Israelis. It was an awful, awful deal for the Palestinians. But they came very close as a starting point to stop the killing, to stop the suicide bombers, to stop the IDF from leveling people's homes, to stop the building of further settlements, to stop the unending killing. Clinton came pretty close. But Richard Perle, a guy who is going to roast in hell for all eternity. If there is a hell, Richard Perle will be there, roasting and roasting and cooking, his fat sizzling. Richard Perle went to Ehud Barak at the time and said, hey, look, don't cut a deal with the Clinton administration. We'll get you a better deal once we steal the presidency. And the Israeli negotiators bought into it and backed off. Perle even contacted the Israeli prime minister at the time. He went to the negotiators, but he also went to Barak and said, look, back off. Don't cut a deal with Clinton. Because if you cut a deal with Clinton, you know, the Palestinians are going to have their country is going to be cut into three Bantustans. But, don't do it. Once we get in office, since there are so many of us Zionists, Christian Zionists and Jewish Zionists deeply embedded in the Bush administration, we will give you license to do anything you want to do. Because after all, we're going to invade Iraq. We're going to invade Afghanistan. We have pipelines and oil wells that we need to secure. So just hold off. So now they're trying to make Bush appear to be some sort of a peacemaker. Bush is a killer. He's a war maker. He could no more be a peacemaker than I could be a pope or the chief rabbi of Jerusalem. George W. Bush is a killer. He's a murderer. He's a failure. He's a deserter. He's a thug. He's a crime family organizer. He's a consigliere. He's a capo. He's a capo di tutti capos. He is a bum. But Karl Rove, the expert in don't look what we're doing over here, look what we're doing over there, has decided that it's time to make George Bush appear to be a peacemaker. Now, it'd be a very dangerous place to go into the head of the prime minister, the new prime minister of the Palestinian prime minister, so-called, or into the head of Ariel Sharon. Very dangerous places to go. But you have to wonder, don't you, what these two people... Now we understand, Sharon is hell-bent on throwing every single Palestinian out of Greater Israel, as geographically defined in the Old Testament. The Palestinians, on the other hand, the Palestinian prime minister, is bound and determined to hold on to as much of what they call Palestine as they possibly can. Into this comes George Bush, who couldn't find Israel on a map if somebody handed him a pointer. It's frightening, isn't it? It is frightening. Now, Bush was just at Auschwitz. He asked one question while he was there. He didn't ask anything of historical significance.
or religious significance, or human rights significance, or why most of the death camps were put in Poland instead of Germany. He didn't ask questions that evidenced a curiosity about the time when Satan himself walked the earth, Adolf Hitler. He didn't ask any of that. You know what he asked? He asked one question.
Do people ever question the accuracy of what you present here?
Our Connecticut Bureau Chief, Zach, emails in all caps, the gall of that question, the audacity of this man. He is questioning the Holocaust. Could the irony be any more sickening?
Do people ever question the accuracy of what you present here?
Now, when you put his question in context, that his own grandfather, oh God, Prescott Bush, who had a wonderfully profitable working relationship with the government of Adolf Hitler, arguably it was through Prescott Bush's use of the bank he was involved with that possibly might have assisted in the construction of Auschwitz, the construction of Bergen-Belsen, the construction of Treblinka, the construction of Birkenau, the construction of these death camps. Prescott Bush. It is further alleged, and pretty much borne out by historical fact, that Prescott Bush profited from the slave labor at Auschwitz and Birkenau and Bergen-Belsen and Treblinka and Dachau. And there's George W. Bush, the grandson of a man who assisted Adolf Hitler in building the ovens and the death camps, asking the guide at Auschwitz,
do people ever question the accuracy of what you present? Huh? Do they? I like to know. How many people died here? Oh, boy, that's terrible, isn't it? That's really terrible. It's
an outrage. It's an outrage. It is worse than an outrage. It should make you cry tears of blood. And I don't care what your religion is. Jew, Gentile, Muslim, Hindu. 6, 7, 8 million people were marched into the ovens. Built. With money that was raised with the assistance of Prescott Bush. And they were burned. And there stands this little rat bastard saying,
Do people ever question the accuracy of what you present here?
And then he went to the Wawel Royal Castle in Krakow, Poland. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Where he gave an address to a carefully selected group of Poles last Saturday. And he was speaking to the Polish people sitting there about his trip to Auschwitz earlier that day. And he said, Laura and I have just heard Auschwitz 1 and what they call Auschwitz 2, a place where millions were murdered. The sites are a sobering reminder that of the power of the evil and the need for people to resist evil. And this site is a sobering reminder that when we find anti-Semitism, whether it be in Europe or anywhere else, mankind must come together to fight such dark impulses. And this site is also a strong reminder that the civilized world must never forget what took place on this site.
All the good that has come to this continent, all the progress, the prosperity, the peace, came because beyond the barbed wire, there were people willing to take up arms against evil.
But you little thug, one of the people willing to take up arms against evil was Franklin Roosevelt, who took up arms, so to speak, against your grandfather and charged Prescott Bush under the Trading with the Enemy Act and seized the assets of the bank that was financing Hitler. And there
one of the banks. And there stands George Bush addressing Poles who, I'm sorry, true, have a long history of anti-Semitism. And there stands Bush lecturing these Polish people about dark impulses, that the civilized world must never forget what took place at Auschwitz. George Bush, whose family helped finance the mass murder. And nobody says anything. Nobody says anything. As Zach emailed in, the gall, the audacity of this man.
Do people ever question the accuracy of what you present?
My God. Patrick is calling from Owensboro, Kentucky. Hey, Mike. Patrick.
Mike.
Yes.
Write the book before the May primary.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, will do.
And you and Jim Hightower on Crossfire and MSNBC.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
And last but least, call Al Franken about getting your own show on a new and upcoming Progressive Democratic News TV network.
Oh, okay. I'll do it.
Will you do that?
Yeah, I'm making
for all of us?
Yeah, I'm making a list here as you...
Okay.
Now, what you really called about...
Well, I was going to ask about Eisenhower. Would you consider him to be the last decent Republican we had? No.
Eisenhower was... I don't know how to answer the question. Eisenhower had some good ideas. He warned against one of the very things he helped set up, and that was the military-industrial complex. I don't know how to answer your question, Patrick. Eisenhower was a military man to the extent, you know, I said a year and a half, 2 years ago, that as long as we have war on this planet, I honestly don't believe anyone should be president of the United States unless that person has either served in the military or served in combat. Now, Eisenhower, of course, was the epitome of that, being the supreme Allied commander during World War II, during the invasion of Europe. But Eisenhower had come up through the ranks. He was a five-star general, one of only how many in the history of this country. He did not understand how government works, the checks and balances, the deals that had to be made, the compromises. He came from a command and control environment. So, to answer your question, I don't think Eisenhower was. I don't know, Patrick. I don't know how to answer your question. I really don't. But I have to leave it there. Thanks for checking in. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Steffen should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Did you see this? We don't have time to do it, but I'll just give you the quick headline. 10th Mountain Division troops are returning to Afghanistan this summer. 4,000 troops will be deployed to Afghanistan to restart the war there. Huh? What the hell? I thought the war was over. I thought we liberated the Afghan people. I thought everything was fine. Well, no, of course I didn't. We liberated Kabul. The rest of the country is in utter chaos. So we are sending 4,000 troops to Afghanistan to kill and be killed this summer. How about that? Huh? How about that? Kodak is calling another one of our over-the-road truck drivers. Kodak is driving in Ohio. Hey, Kodak, welcome to the program.
Whack. Mike, it is a fight. It is a war. It is a battle.
Boy, you got that right.
We must keep up our diligence, even though it wears us down. I understand exactly how you feel. Because I was one of the sheep who was walking around in total ignorance and apathy about what is going on, and because everything in my world seemed was taking place at a fairly comfortable rate. But then once I started reading the Pratt book and
You started to get enlightened,
right?
But you have heard that expression, where ignorance is bliss, which is where we are now. It's folly to be wise.
Yes.
It's a waste of time.
But it felt like my head was going to explode, and I didn't have an outlet.
Oh, okay. So your head's not going to explode now.
But now I have, like you say, I have to stand back from it sometimes. But I let no man, woman, nor child walk before me with some stupidity or inaccuracy that I know that I can disprove. So thanks to your program and the other programs and also the literature on that we have in order to fight the fight. And one thing I have noticed that is very important when you are discussing this topic with people who would like to remain in the darkness, if you begin to speak calmly and softly, they have to calm down in order to hear what you are saying.
I know. I just wish I could do that, Kodak. But, I'm a borderline hysteric dude. Kodak, we're out of time. Drive safe, pal, will you?
All right. I'll call again.
All right, sir.
Thanks.
All right, sir. Take care. Calmly, softly, moi. Like I said, I'd chew the scenery, whatever. Tonight's program engineered up in Detroit by Steve Damschroeder. Thank you, Steve. Thanks to Mark Marshall of Maximum Interactive for the vastly improved MikeMalloy.com. Check it out if you haven't been there. Producer, of course, Catherine Bay, Robin Bittman announces for us. My name is Mike Malloy. I'll see you tomorrow night. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145.
Now,
join the resistance.